Great offering song there too. A land where we'll never grow old. Nobody else is excited about that, but Brother Tom, he got that amen in. Didn't you hear that? Amen. See, he's paying attention. Acts chapter 20, if you would please, tonight. It happens to me fairly often, but sometimes I struggle with really what the Lord had had me to preach. You know, we've been going through the Gospels and really was focused in on that, but just felt like we needed to go a different direction tonight. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. We're going to pick up at verse 17. And the Apostle Paul has got a heart to get to Jerusalem, and he wants to get there in time for Pentecost. And as he's been out on missionary work, and on his way back to Jerusalem, he knows that this is going to be his last trip there. God has put that on his heart. He's put it on the heart of others, that bad things are going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem, but he knows that's where God wants him to go. And so he's going to go where God wants him to, and he knows that this is going to be his last chance to talk to some of the churches on the way. So as he's going back, he can't go all the way into Asia. He can't go to Ephesus, but he wants to talk to the elders there, the pastors there. And so he tries to get close enough, and he sends for them, and they meet him, and he has one last meeting with the elders or pastors from Ephesus. Now, he spent a long time in Ephesus ministering and serving God there for several years and developed really close relationships. These are men that he, a lot of them, he led to Christ personally. Others are saved, obviously, by other people, but other people's ministries. But these were men who were saved and baptized and serving in the church that God called into the gospel ministry. These are men who were ordained as elders or pastors in the church there. And so he wants to meet with them and give them one last charge. And he knows it's the last time he's going to be with them. But he says some great and profound things. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to lose focus. Amen. Okay, I'm kidding. I know about you because some of you have already lost focus. Like, we haven't even read the scriptures yet, and some of you have already taken like 17 trips in your mind, right? There's distractions. There's you think, oh yeah, did I remember to do this? Or I got to do this tomorrow. Like, we have very short attention spans, and we lose focus. Well, it's been difficult to stay focused on the right things in 2020. It's been easy to get derailed by politics. It's been easy to get derailed by chaos. It's been easy to be derailed by all kinds of things. But none of the things that have happened in 2020 have taken away from what God has called us to do as Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. All the things that have gone on in the world have not changed what Christ has called us to do as believers. It hasn't changed the mission of the church. It hasn't changed the call on the life of a believer. All of those things have remained the same. And as distracted as all of us may be from time to time, we need to strive to finish well in 2020. It's not over yet. And some of you are like, oh, me. I know. I can feel it with some of you, but you've got this mindset, if we could just get to 2021, then everything will be all better. Some of you have that thought, like if we could just make it. Some of you think that the world will be better after the election. But I've got news for you. We're still going to live in a sin-cursed world. And the answer to the world's chaos is not to have an election. The answer to the world's chaos is not to... Like it'll help you turn off the TV. That'll help you. Amen. Like, shut off that social media. That'll help you. But it's not going to change the world. What's going to change the world is the church being the church. Amen. What's going to change the world is us doing the things that God has called us to do the way God's called us to do them. That's what's going to change the world. You know what's going to change Muldrow, Oklahoma? Doing what we did today at 3:00, coming together and praying and going out and taking the gospel to our community. That's what's going to change Muldrow. You could get in political arguments and debates with people all you want to. It's not going to change their heart. The gospel is the only thing that's going to change their heart. And people's hearts being changed is the only thing that's going to change our families and our communities and our nation and the world. And so it's on my heart tonight that we just get back to this. I want to invite you to stand with me if you're able. We're in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And I just want to ask you to do this. I've got a burden on my heart tonight for this passage, this message, but you're going to have a desire in your heart to get it, or it's not going to make any difference. This will just be another Sunday night message. Get through it as fast as we can. Get out of here. Do what else you got to do. But God forbid that that would be our heart tonight. You open up your heart. You hear the word of God. He wants to speak to you right now. He wants you to hear his word right now. And so let's listen intently to the word of God. Acts 20:17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And let me just say, I mentioned a couple times already, but the word elder, that's just another name for the office of pastor. We see in the New Testament it's elders, it's bishops, it's pastors, and they're all three different words that describe one office. It's the office of what we refer to today mostly as pastor. Everybody with me right now? Okay, this means yes. All right, this means no. All right, we're with me? All right, not with me. Good. All right, at least we know where we're at. And he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let's pray together. Merciful Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would move in our service tonight. I pray that you'd help me to preach your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. You convict hearts. If anyone in this service, in the building, or watching online has never been born again, I pray that even now, tonight, your Holy Spirit would work in their heart, that they would realize their lost condition, that they would repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in the finished work of Jesus with all their heart. Lord, that they would pray and ask you to be their Savior tonight. I pray the saved would follow you in baptism and serve you faithfully in the local church. I pray that you'd help this church to do the business that you've called us to do. Please help now. I pray that you put a hedge about this place and about this message, Lord, that it would be protected, that the word of God would find good ground in our hearts, that it would bring forth fruit to your glory. Please bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Notice in verse 18, if you would please, the manner of the Apostle Paul. When he called the elders and they were come to him, and it was a journey to get there, but he reminds them in verse 18, you know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Paul wanted them to be reminded of the kind of life that he lived, the manner in which he did things, the way in which he conducted himself as a missionary, as a pastor, as a man of God. He said, look at the way that I lived. I want that to be a challenge to you. And by the way, it ought to be a challenge to us. As we look into the life of the Apostle Paul, he was not a perfect man. He was a sinner, just like everybody else. He struggled with his sins. He tells us in Romans 7, the good thing that I would do, I do not. And the bad thing I would not do, that I do. And he wrestled and he fought. But listen, that's the key. He fought. He kept fighting to do what God called him to do. He didn't give up. People were after him all the time. He talks about the lying and weight of the Jews. And listen, there are some people who quit church because they think somebody gave them a dirty look. But listen, there were people trying to kill Paul all the time. And he stayed faithful to the Lord. What manner did he have? Well, he says, serving the Lord, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. He served with humility, with tears, and with temptations. He had humility of mind.
The Apostle Paul had a lot of reason to boast. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. That guy. Y'all look it up because I obviously can't say it tonight. Gamaliel. He learned at this prestigious man's feet. He was educated. He was not only a Jew, but he was a Roman freeborn citizen. He had it the best of both worlds. He said, I've got a lot of reason to boast, but I won't boast in anything. I won't glory in anything except for the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, I count all things but loss that I might win Christ. He had humility in his mind. He had a lot of reason to boast compared to other people, but he didn't lift himself up. He put himself down. When you keep yourself low, you don't have to fear any fall. You keep yourself low. You know, I think that we are in danger as good missionary Baptist folks that you are, sometimes to look at the world out there and we can, if we're not careful, we get a little pharisaical. We start looking down our nose at other people. We think, well, we've got the truth and they don't. We've got it all figured out and they don't. My life is so good and theirs is so bad. Listen, we need to be really, really careful that we keep humility of mind, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I hate to think where any of us might be tonight. You believe that?
Amen.
Do you understand tonight the depravity that could be in your life right now if it weren't for the grace of God?
Amen.
Do you realize how low you could go? The people that you and I might have looked down on just this week, you might have looked at the condition they were in and you thought, how in the world could they end up there? You could have been there and so much worse if it weren't for the grace of God. So we need to remember, and we need to have that kind of manner that we have humility as we go into the world tonight, as we go through our lives this week, as we finish out this year, 2020, that we go with humility of mind, understanding that we are not better than anyone else. And if there's anything good in you and I, it's Christ that is in us. It's humility of mind, he said, with tears. Listen, You all know that I'm an emotional guy, and I've always blamed my mom for that, because when I was little, she told me it was okay for boys to cry. I believed her. I went through a time in my life where I questioned my mom's wisdom, because there seemed to be people who didn't think it was okay for boys to cry. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God, and he shed tears. I might remind you that our Savior wept. Why? Why did Jesus cry? Why did Paul serve with tears? Because of love. Because he loved Christ and because he loved people. His heart was broken for people who were lost and on their way to hell. His heart was broken for the Jews who were self-righteous and on their way to hell. His heart was broken for people to come to Christ. His heart was broken for people who had trusted in Christ, but they were turning back to the way of the world. And he was begging them and pleading with them night and day with tears that they would stay faithful to God, that they would keep moving forward, they would continue in the faith and continue in the Word of God. He had a heart for them. He was overwhelmed with love for them. His manner was with humility. His manner was with love. His manner it was with temperance. He said he went through these temptations because of the lying in wait of the Jews. What were they doing? They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to catch him. They were trying to kill him. But he kept on. So what was his manner? Was to be faithful. His manner was to have self-control. His manner was to be long-suffering. Listen, it wasn't Paul. It was the Spirit of God that was in him. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That was his manner. His manner was to die daily. His manner was to die to himself and to be filled with the Spirit of God and to live and walk and serve in the power of the Spirit of God. That was his manner. And if you and I would finish well this year, if we would finish our course with joy, then we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our manner is going to have to be ruled by God's Holy Spirit. Notice not only his manner, but his methods. Look at verse 19. He said, serving the Lord with all humility. He gives the manner, but he tells us what his methods were. First of all, he was serving the Lord. I want to help you out today. Has anybody ever disappointed you? Have you ever done something hoping that somebody would take notice and they didn't? Have you ever felt like, boy, it'd be nice to just get an attaboy every once in a while? Anybody ever want an attaboy? Listen, when you are serving people and you serve people for people alone, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not saying you shouldn't serve people. Don't misunderstand me. But Paul's primary was to serve the Lord. You see, what he did for people, he did for the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus taught? If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You see, our heart's always going to be for Christ. It's always going to be him first. He must have the preeminence in all things. He was serving the Lord. You and I have an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What you do in your life, you can do unto the Lord and not unto men. What you do in your job this week, you can do unto the Lord and not unto men. Hey, kids, listen. What you do in school, you can do as unto the Lord and not unto men. It doesn't matter if it's at work or at school or at home. The things that we do all day, every day, we do them as unto the Lord and not unto men. We've got to keep Christ first in all our thoughts. We serve the Lord Christ. So his methods was serving. His method was giving. Remember, look at verse 20 again. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I had some stuff that was profitable for you. I had some stuff that was helpful to you, but I didn't hold it back. I gave it to you. And this is crucial. Listen, if you see somebody that has need, and you can meet that need, you don't put it off. You do what you can do when you can do it. Everybody with me right now? You don't just say, be warmed and filled and send them on their way. No, you've got to meet those needs. And Paul said, what I had, I gave. He tells us in this passage later that he reminds them that I worked with my hands. I worked to take care of myself and to help other people in need. So he did that with physical things, but maybe it was money, maybe it was food, maybe it was clothes, maybe he made somebody a tent, I don't know, but he did what he could to help other people. He was serving, and he was serving the Lord, but he was doing that by giving. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to those that are in need. Are you guys still with me tonight? Yeah, some of you already took some of those side trips. I want to welcome you back to Calvary tonight. Thank you for being with us again. It's giving. God has blessed you more than you know. Amen. You have more than you know. Amen. And God allows us to serve him by giving to others. But I want you to notice what he focuses on that he gave. Because he had a manner, he had his methods, but he had a message. He had a message. I didn't keep back anything that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Peter and John were going into the temple? The lame man was there begging. And they stopped and they said, look at us. And the man looked at him thinking he would get some coins. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember that? Listen, you may not have money to give to lots of people. You may not have food at the right time that you need to give somebody food. You may not have all the things that the world may be in need of physically, but if you are born again, you have the thing that they need the most. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't keep back that which is profitable to them. He said, I have kept back nothing that was profitable. Do you hear me tonight? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I want you to hear me tonight. The most profitable thing for anybody in this world today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we don't share the gospel with others, we are holding back that which is most profitable to them. We can give them $5 for lunch. You can go through the drive-thru and give them some food. You can do all kinds of things to help them. But if you don't give them the gospel, you have not given them what is most profitable to them. We've got to be faithful to give out the gospel. People need Christ. And he said, I have a message. He showed it to them. This word showed is the Greek word anagelo. It means literally to announce, to declare, to report. When he says, I've showed you, it means that he told them. He told them the gospel. He announced to them the gospel. He proclaimed the good news. He evangelized them. We talk about a personal evangelism, how do you do it? And there's all kinds of programs and all kinds of books and all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, I've read The Soul Winner by Spurgeon, and I've studied evangelism as explosion, and I've looked at all these different things. I've been through the way of the master, and there's all kinds of different methods, and it's all about personal evangelism. But I just want to tell you what it's really about. It's about giving people the gospel. I mean, you can't summarize it any better than the Holy Spirit through Paul did. He proclaimed to them repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He showed them and he taught them. These are two completely different words. Showed is anagelo, means to announce. Taught is didasko. It literally means to teach. There was proclaiming, there was telling, but then there was also teaching. It takes investment to teach somebody. It takes investment to teach. It takes an investment to teach your kids. Your kids didn't learn how to live just by accident. You had to teach them. We've got to help them all along the way, don't we? They kind of figure out how to crawl pretty good on their own. But you got to help them a little bit when they learn how to walk. You have to teach them how to eat without getting food all over the kitchen. Ours are still learning. It takes diligence to teach them how to read, to write. It takes effort. And it's no different in the church. If we're going to help people understand the truth of the Word of God, if we're going to help them to grow in the gospel, it's going to take effort to teach. That's why Paul invested his time there. He had a message for them. He did it by showing and teaching. He did it publicly and from house to house. In the open. Maybe publicly was in a congregation at the synagogue. Maybe it was a gathering of the Greeks as they discussed things philosophically. Maybe it was in the marketplace. Maybe it was at a gathering of people down by the river, but publicly they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they went from house to house. Well, there's a novel idea. Do you think that there's not a reason from the scriptures why we go house to house as a church? That we have maps so we make sure that we cover every street in town? That we try to be diligent to go from house to house to house to house in Mulder, Oklahoma? Because that's the example. Listen, Paul lived it, and then he challenged those pastors from Ephesus. This is what I did, and you need to continue in this. And we look into the scriptures, and we see the description of what they did, and we use that as a guide to help us today. And there are people who might never hear the gospel if we don't go to their house. I need you to get this. This is really vital for our church to understand. There are too many churches in America who operate under this. Their attitude is, and I don't know if they would ever say it
verbally or not, but the attitude is this. They know, talking about lost people, they know where we are. If they want to hear preaching, they can come here to preach it. Now, I've heard that sentiment in my life, and it could not be more unbiblical if it tried. Somebody say amen. You show me in the Bible where it says to the lost people, come to the church to hear the gospel. Show me where it's at in the pages of this book. And I'll be glad to stand up here and give a retraction for you all. But I don't see that in my Bible. But what I do see is command after command after command for the people of God to go. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach them. Go and make disciples. Go, go, go. That's the call. It's not for us to sit here and wait for them to come in. The call is for us to go and take the gospel to them. And we need to get a heart to take them the gospel. He did it publicly. He did it from house to house. And what he said was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 31, he says he warned them night and day with tears. He wept over their souls. He warned them of the judgment to come. He warned them of their need to repent. In verse 28, he says, he reminds them that the church was purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you need to put your faith in Jesus? Because Jesus Christ died for you. When they scourged him, when they put the crown of thorns on his head, when they drove the nails in his hands and feet, that precious blood that flowed down that old rugged cross, dear friends, that blood was shed to purchase this church. That blood was shed to purchase that church. And it was purchased, it was shed to purchase this church, you and me today. That blood was shed as the payment for the sins of the whole world. How he did it was by showing and teaching. Where he did it was publicly and from house to house. What he told them was repent and believe. And who he told was the Jews and the Greeks. And if you don't understand that, the Jews was the Israelites, and the Greeks often referred to as the Gentiles. That's everybody else. He gave the gospel to everybody. I think it's really easier for me to talk to people who are kind of like me. I think we have a tendency to talk to people who are like us. We want to find people who have things in common with us. It's easier for us to have a conversation. But I got news for you. God's called us to take the gospel to everyone. Everyone. There's a lot of division in our country today. Probably not as much as the media would have you to believe, but there's some division in our country today. But there's no division when it comes to the gospel. There's neither Jew nor Roman, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all. Christ is in all who believe. You see his manner, you see his method, you see his message. But I want you to notice his mission. He was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. Now, Paul said, I don't know what's going to happen when I go to Jerusalem, but I know this. The Holy Spirit has told me and witnessed to me over and over and over again that bonds and affliction abide me there. I don't know what's going to happen when I get down to Jerusalem or up to Jerusalem, but when I go up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be afflicted. All right? Everybody with me? Now, if I told you tonight, listen, if you go to Roland, Oklahoma tonight, you're going to get arrested. If you go there, you're going to get arrested. How many of you would be like, all right, let's go. I don't believe it. Let's go. Yeah, some of you would be like, try me. Challenge accepted. You're ready to go. Listen, the fact of the matter is, we can't even begin to imagine what that was like for Paul, because this wasn't just some random thing. Hey, you don't want to go downtown Portland tonight. It's pretty rough down there. That's not what this was.
Some of you don't even want to go to downtown Fort Smith because you're scared what's going to happen down there. Right? See? Some of you get nervous when somebody goes to Oklahoma City or somewhere around here, and you're afraid of that. This is not just like a, hey, it's a rough neighborhood. This is the Holy Spirit of God telling a man of God, when you go there, bad things are going to happen. This isn't, hey, something could go wrong. This is, it's definitely going to be bad. Is everybody with me right now? Listen, I watched a friend of mine that used to go to teen camp with us get arrested this week for singing praise to God. I haven't seen Sean in years, but I watched him get arrested in Moscow, Idaho, because they were singing praises to God. In the United States of America, that's Moscow, Idaho, USA, not Moscow, Russia, arrested for singing praise in public without a mask on in America. Everybody with me right now? Okay? Right, just nod your head, even if you're not with me, just nod your head for goodness sakes. I watched that happen. Now, I just want you to know that I can't imagine that. I'm watching him and his wife getting handcuffed and led off to the police station, and I'm just telling you that I can't imagine that. I get claustrophobic just thinking about it. Somebody tries to put me in cuffs, I'm ready to run. I'm going to be the guy that gets shot because I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to get locked up. I don't want somebody to put me in cuffs, stick me in the back of the car. I don't want somebody to put me in a cage, in a cell where I can't get out. Do you feel that tonight? What that would be like? You can't get out. I am thankful for my freedom. So I just want you to get a little bit of an idea. And I promise you, the jail in Moscow, Idaho was a whole lot nicer than the prison that the Romans had in Jerusalem. Okay, now everybody with me a little bit. Look at what he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. God has called me. I must go to Jerusalem, and it doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. None of these things move me. I've got a mission. I've got a purpose. I've got a calling in my life, and I don't care what happens. I'm going to do what Christ has called me to do. And then I look at us today. Comfortable, satisfied, apathetic, lazy, too comfortable. And we don't want to do the minimum things. We don't want to do the basic things. We don't want to do the easiest things because it might cost us what? What does it cost you to witness to your neighbors? What does it cost you to study the Word of God? What does it cost you to actually live for Jesus in a way that other people can tell you're actually a Christian? What does it cost us? We lose some friends? People badmouth you on social media? What does it cost us? And we are moved away from the call of God for nothing. We are moved away from the mission of God because we're too lazy. We're moved. But Paul said, I am not moved. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. Why? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Paul knew that living for Jesus in his day would cost his life. And he said, I'm going to keep living for Jesus. Listen, I want you to understand that Paul could have had it easy. He could have renounced Jesus Christ. He could have gone back to the Pharisees and said, just kidding, boys, I didn't mean it. He could have gone back to persecuting Christians. He could have walked away. He could have had all the things that he gave up to follow Jesus. He could have walked right back into, up to a point. He said, I don't care about any of those things. I don't care about my own life. I want to do what God's called me to do. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. He had a mission. He had a mission. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. This word course is a very unique word in the New Testament. It's only used three places here. In Acts 13:25, it says that John the Baptist fulfilled his course. John the Baptist fulfilled his course. John the Baptist had a purpose. He had a mission. John the Baptist was prophesied all before he was ever born, it said that he would come and he would make straight paths for Messiah. He said that he would be sent to prepare the way for Christ. And when he stood up and told his disciples, he said, there's one coming after me whose shoes latched that I'm not even worthy to unloose. That's the one you need to follow. Behold the Lamb of God. He did what God called him to do. And then he lost his head for the cause of Christ. It's said of John the Baptist, and it's used here in our text tonight, and it's used one more time in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. You're familiar, where Paul said, I have finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. I aspire to have the kind of faith that I read about in the pages of Scripture. I want to have faith like Abraham. Abraham, get up and go. Where? I'll tell you when you get there. I want to have faith like Elijah. When God says, I want you to go down to this brook and I'll send some birds to feed you. Okay, Lord. And he goes. I want to have faith like the Apostle Paul. When God says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, it's going to be real bad. And he says, okay, Lord, I'll go. Paul had that kind of faith to finish out his whole life with joy. I just like to finish out the day. I like to go from the time my eyes open to the time they close again in sleep. Or I've stayed on course just for a day. And by the grace of God, do it again tomorrow. He said, I finished my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Man, he just won't leave it alone, will he? He showed it. He taught it. Now he's testifying of it. I mean, Paul will not shut up about the gospel. Like, he talks about it all the time. Like, he'll talk about something else for a minute, but he keeps bringing it back to the gospel. Why does he do that? Might be a reason for that, huh? Take a trip in your mind with me for just a second while we get ready for an invitation. Imagine with me for just a few moments, where would you be without the gospel? Just some of you been in church, you know, like from the womb till now. Where would you be if you never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, you'd be lost. For one thing, you'd be on your way to hell, for sure. But not only that, you would have no hope. You would have no peace. There would be no way to have real everlasting joy. You know where you would be? You would be right where most of the people outside these walls are tonight. That's where you'd be. Without God and without hope in the world. But thanks be to God, that's not where you're at tonight if you have Jesus. You have hope. You have peace that passes understanding. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all I'm trying to tell you is when Paul got the gospel, it got him. And he couldn't stop talking about it. And if the gospel has you, you can't stop talking about it. If we want to finish out this year well, if we want to finish this year with joy, if we want to do the work that God's called us to do, then we have to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Serving the Lord. Giving to others. And giving to them above and beyond all else, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will break our hearts tonight. That he'll renew something in us. That he'll get our focus back where it needs to be tonight. And I just want to challenge you as we stand together. Right where you're standing, where you're at home. or right up here at the altar, if you need to make a decision for Christ, to be saved, to be baptized, to recommit your life to Christ, you do that tonight. If you know that you need to renew your focus on the gospel tonight, I pray that you'll respond where you're at, right up here. But by the grace of God, let us get our eyes fixed on Jesus and the work that he's called us to do as we finish out this year and as we sing. Hey, 550.